Again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd like to do a commentary on day 26, and the reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, and it reads, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." After this morning's meeting, I realized that this is a very hard teaching. Sometimes in the Bible they have hard teachings. This is a hard teaching for those of us who are Christians, and we have history in secular rooms. I know just from the sharing this morning, and just like I said at the bottom of this page, I talked to God about this, and I still talk to Him about it. But I am convinced what it was written here, that I understand that my role is to bring the good news to the myriad of seekers that populate the 12-step room. And my experience, my strength, and my hope is that Jesus is the answer. I am grateful for the sense of a need to repent that came as a result of being in the rooms, going back and trying to reconcile with some of the relationships that were broken down as a result of my overeating, so that I wouldn't have resentment about it. But the Bible has a verse, and it's in Psalm 127, 1 and 2, and it says, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain." And so that I know from my own experience and also watching people, that without Jesus Christ, without the Lord, that my recovery is a matter of relief and not a matter of healing. That only Jesus heals. He heals. And so I, as a born-again believer, know that Jesus heals. And if I want an abstinence where I am peaceful and not anxious and looking over my shoulder and wondering when the next shoe is going to drop off, or getting obsessed or running and doing, lots and lots of looking at my navel, doing over and over, and I mean it, because it had gotten to that point for me that I was always doing inventories, always doing this and thinking that I had to do that. And not that the Lord does not want me to reflect on my life. He does want me to reflect on my life. But what He wants is that He wants me to take His message of salvation, to live it out in my life, to live that power out in my life, and to bring others to the understanding that He wants to save them too. He wants them to know that He desires to live inside of them, and He desires to give them a gift so that they have a purpose and a place, and that they can build up the church and bring more people to an understanding, a knowledge, and love of Jesus, who will give them freedom for living, who will give them an abundant life, who will give them a peace that passes all understanding, who will help them to not be trading addictions, where they are being set free or finding relief in one area and then moving over in another area and finding addiction there. And that's not what God has set me free to do. It is for freedom that He has given me freedom. And He wants me totally unshackled. And that only comes when I have a God strong enough to do it. And the God that's strong enough to do it was also the one who saved me, and that is Jesus Christ, and I need to know him. And others need to know him too, and that's what this verse is all about, that we learn about the Lord through the Spirit of God, because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We learn all of those things. We, as those things work in our lives. And so what happens is what J. Vernon McGee says. He says that, you know, that this freedom, this gospel that we're talking about, it comes through a man of God who is filled with the Spirit of God, and he brings the Word of God. And so we do that. That's what we're all about. And this is what that verse says. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? In other words, if people don't believe in God, they don't know the God of the Bible, how are they going to call on him? You know, how are they going to benefit from all that he has to give to them? We think that all people know about Jesus, the Lord, the Messiah. They don't. They have no iota. They're searching. They're searching and looking for other idols, calling doorknobs their higher power, or even calling groups their higher power. But even though, again, groups can and fellowship can help a whole lot, but again, it cannot be God. We need a sinless sacrifice. We need God himself to come down as our lamb to be that. But people don't know about that message. They can't call on one they have not believed in. And so they have to see that lived out in our lives. And it says, how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? They hear, again, through our mouth, but they hear as we live our lives out loud. They may not be able to put their hands on it or their finger on it, but they know something is different about us. I know, as I look back, the people who knew Jesus, they were different. And I don't mean people who were just talking the talk. I mean people who really walked the walk. And the reason they were different is that they had the Holy Spirit living in them, living through them, pulsing through them. They were different. So it says, and how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And so preaching means that I am living out loud this gift of freedom that the Lord has given to me. I'm publicly living that out. And so this is what my point is in terms of Christians in secular rooms of recovery. Yes, there are rooms of recovery that can give us bodies of knowledge of how to do our physical abstinence. But we have found and we're finding that there are now groups of Christians that can also do the same, and they do a better job in that they offer an opportunity to pray. To pray in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are indeed to confess our sins to one another, to pray for one another and be healed. The prayers of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so once you have found the skill, what you need to do, if you needed a food plan or whatever, then to pray that the Lord will actually help you to live it out, and not just be biding your time and as I call it, country club living, sitting in the rooms and enjoying being able to vent. And that's not what we're about either. What we're about is to finish the assignment that God has placed on us, and that assignment is to take his word both by our lives and when the way opens up with our mouth. We have to have the courage to speak the truth and love. And so we have to know that we are sent, and we want to be clear, clean, and committed in our own abstinence so that we're not living in denial, that if we say that God is strong enough, he's strong enough to save us, to give us new life, to resurrect our life, then believe me, he's strong enough to keep us abstinent for the rest of our life. And we learn that message and we live out that message as we stay in the Word of God. And so I encourage you, please, listen to my voice. And I can say it with all fervor. Get immersed in the Word of God every day, immersed in it. Read it, study it, apply it, pray it, live it. Walk out in faith on it. And you will, I guarantee you, you will see a difference in your clear, clean, and committed abstinence. You will see a difference in your ability to effectively work with others and make a difference in their life.